The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody, welcome into the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. Coming to you today from the auditorium in Headland, Alabama, at the Wiregrass Research Center. Just wrapped up our first scout school of the year here in Headland, and so we thought we'd get a little roundtable update with the Wiregrass guys. How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Just wet.
Yeah.
It's always good to have moisture at this time of year. So. We'd be ready when this humidity breaks a little bit, though. This is bad for us old fat guys out of shape.
Where we want to start, how about we got, you just heard the voice of Mr. Peanut. Little late here, Chris. How are we looking?
Well, we're certainly going to have a later crop than what we wanted because due to finally getting that moisture, it's been about 10 days everybody's been out of the field across the south. So we probably have 35-40% of the crop left to plant currently right now. So, you know, we would always like to be further down the road than where we are, but we certainly needed that rain and moisture because we've been in a drought and a huge deficit. So that was much needed.
I was asking Aaron earlier, what's our cutoff look like for peanuts here?
Well, crop insurance cutoff is June the 5th. So, but that doesn't mean that your insurance ends then. It decreases each day from after then until you're down to a zero. So that gets you to about, I think, around the 15th, middle of the month. Now, we've done some research with peanuts planted middle of the month in June. Depending on what kind of rainfall you would have and what kind of fall we would have, temperature-wise, moisture-wise, we've still made 5,000-pound peanuts planted the middle of June before. So there's still a good potential there. But, you know, we have to have that cutoff for crop insurance at June the 5th because it's just like when we're talking about a time to get here to show up. I mean, people's going to be late and they're behind. So if you told him, it was the 15th is the deadline, you know, they'd be stretched out there and then it's going to be too long. You know, that's that's about the drop dead date is the 15th. And that's the reason why there's zero coverage after then. Okay.
What's the math you did earlier?
The math we did earlier, we were talking about just from a weather standpoint, you know, typically we start to see November rainfall start picking up in November. So, and temperatures cooling off in November. So if we wanted to have the peanuts dug by the end of October, if you go back 140 days backwards, that puts you at what we say June the 12th.
Yeah.
So that falls right in line. But then that, like you said, that's still needing a little bit of rain in the month of October to finish those peanuts out.
Yeah, that's
just historically our driest month of the year.
That's right, so, depending on pardoning any storms that we get.
Yeah.
That's the reason why you could see a really good crop like we had some storms. You know, we hadn't had any storms the last few years. We've been really dry falls. So, you know, you would think just like this weather, we were in extreme drought. And then finally we swung. We've been really wet for 10 days. It's the same way I look at it with the storms. We've been without for a while. Mm-hmm. We're probably going to start getting some. You just don't go. Mm-hmm. A long period without it, you know.
And a peanut is different from a cotton plant. You can't manage for earliness with a peanut, right? It just pretty much.
Oh, I mean, you can, but it's going to cost you
cost too much money.
You just plow them up too early.
I've never heard somebody talk about it.
Well, you just plow them
cotton,
up early.
You can promote earliness,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like a PGR, yeah, you know, putting on there like we do with the cotton, try to, you know, cut out that vegetative growth and make it reproductive. Yeah, we can't really do that, and we do have some PGRs for that, but they're set a little different, work different than what we see with the cotton.
And they're not as forgiving as cotton too. When it's time to plow them up, they need to be plowed up. They can't really sit there and wait.
But contracts have gone up a little bit, right?
They have. I would say we were talking about this before we started recording. Usually, I don't know, Chris, what January, February, folks will start asking growers, you know, what kind of seed variety wise, you know, how many tons do you think you'll need for seed? And then that kind of rocks along. And that kind of gives everybody a good idea about how much they need to shell and what varieties they need to shell. We didn't really see any contracts for the most part during that time. And there was really not many contracts. There was a talk of maybe $415 a ton contract early on, but I don't think that was widely offered. And then, you know, we had the cotton ran up to 85, maybe got as high as 88 cent. And somewhere in there, some of the shellers decided we need to offer a contract here. The ones I heard of were $440 a ton. So I don't know how many people took advantage of that. I don't know if that contract's still out there available. I'm not sure on that. There's been a few rumblings in the background about some other stuff possibly coming, but that's all just hearsay at this point.
So I think, you know, NASA predicted we'd plant 203,000 acres of peanuts, which was up from 195,000 acres last year. I always thought that was going to be high for the year, considering thinking about where people have been in peanut acreage over the past 3 years, and knowing that they needed to decrease in the supply of peanuts out there. I thought that was a little far-fetched. I think we overthought what was going to be planted there as far as the amount of seed that was around and what they were predicting. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, when we got later and we saw the cotton price, so we already knew peanut acres were declining. That also decreased probably a little bit more when it was hovering around that 87, 88 cent and took some acres away. So I think reality is setting in that, hey, they really are going to plant less peanuts than what we thought they were going to plant. So there you see some of those contract prices coming back out there now to ensure some sales that they've got committed.
Do you have any estimate on how much lower we may be?
Yeah, you know, I thought before, now this is just a guess, you know, I thought we could easily get back to 175, 180, you know, in the acres for the state.
Okay.
I was going to opposite boat with Chris back during peanut production meeting time. I was thinking we're going to actually increase just a little bit just because the cotton prices were so poor at that point, but we're in the same boat now.
That's where Nash got their estimate, I guess.
Yeah, they called me. Yeah, I just
called the wrong guy. Just, yeah. Or maybe Cedric.
Yeah. No, they didn't call me.
So what else we got going on right now here in the Wiregrass area?
We gotta
finish planting, right?
Yeah, we've had some late fronts to come through here the last couple of days, late in the day coming from the north, which is, you know, kind of odd this time of year, I say. And yet that one Sunday was pretty good rain throughout the Wiregrass area. Yesterday was way more wind than rain. And it's predicted again this afternoon. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but after today, the weather looks open. You know, humidity is going to lower. It's going to be a little bit cooler, lower 80s, so that'll be nice. And, you know, that's what we need, some sunshine and some open weather for a week or so to hurry up and get these other peanuts in. And, you know, and I think, and to finish up all planting, there's probably a little bit of cotton, but for the most part, there's peanuts left out there to plant.
Yeah, and I was going to say, as a reference, today we're recording this on June 2nd, this activity around.
I think everybody's been proactive on the cotton to plant it first this time and to get it in, you know, with the talk of what y'all were saying back. Scott was promoting to plant early, prevent the jasses in case we do have them. And I think for the most part, everybody jumped there and got the cotton in first and managed that to then now planting peanuts later.
Yeah, some struggle. I was going to say, I know some guys been having issues, you know, they got stuff planted but couldn't get back across the field to spray. We do have some dirty fields out there. And whenever it dries up a little bit, we seem to get rain right back again and delays that.
And a lot of times what happens, you know, when we were through that drought, you know, we got peanuts now that are 40 days old. And it's back then, we weren't getting any rain. So you was putting out those pre-emergents, and you didn't get any rain to incorporate them. And so we're going to have some weedy fields in those situations, too. We didn't have anything to activate that.
What's the corn look like around here?
We're tasseling. Looking pretty good. Well, we're thankful for that rain that we're getting. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's for sure helping that out.
Yeah.
Just before it started raining, it was – the dryland corn, you could start to see some dryland corn starting to wilt. I'd gone by a field over in Geneva County. It kind of like pineapples out there. But then since it started raining, everything kind of perked back up. Irrigated corn looks pretty good. Cotton, it's just a mixed bag on the cotton at this point, you know. Most of it has been planted. Some of it's going to have to be replanted, depending on when it was planted. And then there's some that they hadn't gotten to it yet, or hadn't been able to get to it. I was talking with a guy earlier this first part of it. I can't remember what day it was. Well, anyway, he said for the month of May, he had been able to actually work in the field about 10 days because he sat there and counted up how many days he planted cotton and how many days they've been trying to plant peanuts, and came up to about 10 days in the month of May.
Is our optimal window still the same for cotton, or we can go a little bit farther than peanuts?
I would say that's going to depend on your variety.
Yeah.
You know, you got a shorter season, your mid to full maturity varieties, you probably, it's kind of like what we did with the peanuts, but we used 140 days.
Mm-hmm.
If you use 150 days, then, you know,
that even pushes
that's going to push you back to today or yesterday. Yeah. One. So, I don't know. It's just
depends on September.
It will. For the late planting stuff, because typically we usually like to say August can make or break us in our crops that are planted timely.
On time, yeah.
Yeah.
So for late stuff, it just shifts to September.
You just shift the calendar back another 3 or 4 weeks.
What about managing the crop that's already up?
Yeah, we got some guys that are now doing, some's already been in burning down those peanuts, cleaning them up herbicide-wise, and some's getting ready to not burn them, but go in there and just do a little bit of post-applied herbicides and put a little fungicide with it there at that 40-day mark.
Maybe starting to get the beginning of the fungicide application on some.
You know, I think as a whole, really, I mean, we're in pretty good shape, you know, by getting this moisture when we did here at the end of May to save us to get some good cotton stands, you know, overall. There's been a bit of a replant on peanuts as well. Aaron mentioned that on the cotton, and there's been some replant on peanuts. But as a whole, you know, we're in pretty good shape. Everything looks pretty good in the crop, in the field from corn, cotton, and peanuts. Maybe the markets are a little bit suppressed. That's probably one thing that's Wilton weighing on some, but you know, it's not as much as it should be with the price of everything and what it cost.
So I was asking Aaron earlier, I know in cotton we always kind of, we've been hearing it, we had Vindium on the podcast, and I heard this number a few years ago, and Vindium said, like, right now with all the inputs, it's like 90 cents before you make money or break even and stuff like that. Is there a certain number range in peanuts before, you know, to have growers thinking about, like, hey, it's got to be at least above this or for us to make any money or break even or?
Yeah. Well, I guess, it depends on where you're putting what you're expecting the yield to be. You know, so before we were, I'd say that's gotten up now to, you know, about 3,500 pounds is what people are looking at there. So.
Aaron did a math on, $750?
Yeah, I threw out $750 an acre, and that is kind of a loaded number.
Okay.
You know, depending on your rotation and seeding rates and things like that, but and land cost, equipment cost. But I think, and we were figuring 3,000 pounds to the acre, roughly. Okay.
And you said that was still, it needed to be like $480.
Yeah, it was four. I think the number was 483 by the time you back out a little bit of money for drying and cleaning. That was about 483. If you've got 750 an acre in it. So that number, I mean, if you look at some of the extension budgets, that number's way higher than that.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to say. If that number's somewhere even close and we're even sitting at what you were saying earlier, even 440.
Yeah.
The prices are really down.
Yeah.
Right?
Cost of living is too high right now for where commodities are for farm family to make it.
Well, tell me something good.
Well,
weren't you looking at some cotton?
Yeah, I saw pink blooms today.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
June 2nd. You plant cotton on like March 1st, you get a pink bloom by June 2nd. If you plant it on February 18th, you do not get a
bloom. You do not get a bloom.
Yeah.
Do you have any cotton left at February 15th? February 18th.
It's there. Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
But compared to the rest,
it is behind the stuff planted 2 weeks later.
Is it even out of the cotyledon stage?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. it's square and good. Okay. It's just, all right. Not that good.
Gotcha.
I know we got some acres left to plant. What are y'all seeing and hearing, especially you throughout the state, or I guess on Southwest? I talked to a guy yesterday. He said they got about 150, and if it ever stopped raining, we can be done. And they're pretty decent-sized farmers.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they started in April and got on it and didn't get off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be there later this week planting a test over there in Southwest Alabama. And I was over there right, you know, before the rain started. You know, 10 days ago planting. But, you know, most of the guys that still like summer, the bigger farmers that, you know, have a longer, wider planting window to get everything in, but they can also plant a lot of acres in a hurry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 150 acres, 200 a day, what someone can plant.
Yeah.
So, it's not a problem.
Hmm. Here?
With the forecast, I guess, we were looking at earlier, it's supposed to have a few good days now, but after Sunday, even for Headland around here, it was showing 50% or higher chances every day. You think that's going to push some?
Well, I think that'd be good, really, from the aspect of, yeah, we've had 10 days of rain, but really, Sunday, even when we got the 7/10 to an inch, the rain a few days before, that was just really light. You know, it was really Saturday before when we got the big rain, Saturday and Sunday. So by the time we go from now to first of next week, you know, we're 7-8 days, it'd be good to get a little shower, because it's not only keeping that moisture there, keeping the other stuff that's older, that's 40 growing, it's also incorporating those pre-emergent chemicals right here on this other that's been planted. Because like we said earlier during that meeting, the absolute worst time to get a rain is when the peanuts are coming up, and you get that washing rain in there then to put those pre-emergence herbicides in there right on them cracking coming up. We don't want that. So it'll be good to get a little rain there then first of the week.
We need, maybe we'll miss the rain this afternoon. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no scientific basis for this, but for our area, it seems like about for every half inch of rain you get, that's going to put everybody out of the field for one day. So in anything over about an inch and a half, y'all may disagree or agree, I don't know. Anything usually about over an inch and a half, we typically see it run off. So if we get 2 inches of rain, we can absorb about an inch and a half, the rest runs off. So inch and a half puts us out of the field about 3 days for it to dry out to where we're not making an absolute mess in the field.
Yeah.
You know, if you got some land that's got some clay in it, you're not out there making bricks and, you know, you're not compacting the sand down and anything like that. So, you know, like Chris said, Sunday, I think at my house, we got right at 3/4 of an inch, and then we got an inch last night. So if it didn't rain today at my house, somebody would be looking at Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No, today's Monday. I'm sorry. What is
Tuesday? Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. So we're looking, if it didn't rain today, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday or Friday, you know, you could do some field work.
That same half inch you got Sunday in Pike County, they got 2.5 inches.
2.5.
Yeah, okay. So it's been very inconsistent.
We've been very bad in central Alabama. Yeah. Like, I know, especially around there. Auburn got a good bit of rain. Yeah. I don't know how much total, but it's been – we haven't been able to get out in the field up in at E.V. Smith and Shorter in over a week.
Yeah. Some of the growers I talked to earlier this morning there around Montgomery, they've had 3.5 inches or so in the last couple of days. Yeah. It rained this morning 3/10 or 4/10 up there this morning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've been really wet.
That corn crop should be all right, shouldn't it?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
All right. So what? We got a few more minutes here. What are some of the things growers should be thinking to kind of start the season to a good start? I guess.
I think a good fungicide program, especially in peanuts. I ain't saying break the bank, but they're talking like it's going to be a wet year.
I would say the big thing, peanuts, cotton, whatever, is have footprints in your field. Make sure you're out there looking mm-hmm. and seeing what's going on in the field this year, especially in the cotton world. But I'm kind of like Chris. I think folks may have to resort to a little bit of a different herbicide program for their peanuts this year because just the way it's been wet, you know, if pre-emergence didn't get applied to the field before the crop comes up, you may have to leave some things out, which, mm-hmm. you know, may create some problems later on with pigweed and things like that. So knowing what's in the field, you know, whether it be weeds or insects or whatever, disease, whatever, it's going to be really important this year.
Talking about the inputs, like I know you said fungicides, I'm kind of referring back to with all this war and other stuff going, we were talking about fertilizer price about a month ago mm-hmm. and they were really high and all that. Does it also have an effect, or which I believe it does to some extent, but are pesticides, especially fungicides and all that, are they also higher than what growers got them last year, or are they still about the same? How are they going to manage that, if so, I guess?
Yeah, I think depending on certain companies and the products that come from overseas could be, yeah, different.
So that makes it even more expensive mm-hmm. to do that this year.
Yep. You know, I think, you know, as you think about coming up to the growing season, you know, I think being, you know, timely is important in farming, no doubt. You know, whether Cedric mentioned fungicide program, you know, a good fungicide program. I think, you know, we focus on a fungicide program right now because, you know, we talk about cost and you don't want to break the bank and stuff. But if you go early mm-hmm. and go, you know, you can get by with some cheaper products and staying in the field. And then that way, if you do run into trouble with a lot more pressure, if we're looking at a rainier season, yeah, then we can still switch to something else and increase that. And the problem is if we sit back and we don't do anything and then we start out behind, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to recover. So I think, you know, it'll be timely to begin with and you know, don't be so cheap that we're trying to save so much that we cost ourselves.
That's a good message. And then I'm going to share 2 cents from what I shared at the scout school today, that make sure you calibrate your sprayers properly, because one thing and that number somebody was telling me, and I don't know, maybe Chris, I was talking to you last year or about some spray application, like how many acres do we spray, and it's not like planting, you only plant once, right? And you say mm-hmm. hey, we yeah. sprayed 200,000 acres mm-hmm. it's like, hey, we sprayed 1 million acres, because the amount of times you go over them, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of makes me think a lot of time, like the implications of a bad sprayer setup or a wrong nozzle or something, when you keep going back over the same fields again and again, it adds up so much, right?
Yeah.
Because of the amount of times you're going 7 to 10 times with that, that there's a lot bigger implications than just making one bad application
yeah.
there.
Yeah, so that sprayer is one of the most important tools on the farm. I mean, it's used the most of anything. Like I said, we use the other stuff like once.
Yeah.
We use that multiple times.
In peanuts especially.
Yeah.
Like, you're back on that sprayer every 10 to 14 days, if not, you know,
yeah.
earlier in the same field. But, Scott, what's your 2 cents from the scout school today?
Get out and scout.
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, whether that's insects, diseases, weeds, stands, weird stuff, like Aaron said, you got to be in the field every week looking, or you don't know what's going on. You think you do, but you don't.
Yeah. Tell me why people should pay for a scout.
Why should people pay for a scout?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, right, you're timing your insecticides better. Instead of spraying on a schedule, which may work for fungicides, really doesn't work for bugs. They're in some fields and not others. That might vary on planting date. It might vary on neighboring fields, you know, of another crop, what that is. So you're timing your sprays better. Hopefully you're saving some sprays because maybe you would have made an automatic spray that there were no bugs there anyway, mm-hmm. right? So you're maximizing your input, you're reducing your input on top of that. It's obviously better for the environment if we don't spray as much, right? And so I just, you know, those things all together, there's a big impact there from whatever the fee a scout charges. I promise you, he's making you a lot more money than that, a lot more.
That's what I keep hearing you saying, the return on investment.
The return on investment of a good scout is significantly more than whatever his fee is.
All right. Any last thoughts?
I would say just for folks who want to use certain herbicides this year, don't forget there's, you know, we did get the dicamba label back for this mm-hmm. year. There's some training that folks need to do before they stay in compliance. They need to do those trainings. In the state of Alabama, they'll accept, Ag and Industries has said they stated they would accept the manufacturer's training. You can do that. It takes, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half or so mm-hmm. to sit down and do that training online. It's free. And then if anybody's using Paraquat in their peanuts or something like that, there's annual training that has to be done with that, and that's free training also. But we definitely want to be able to hang on to those products. I mean, I know Paraquat's a different situation, but the dicamba, you know, it's highly dependent upon in cotton in our area especially. So we want to make sure we don't do anything to jeopardize that in the future. Because yeah. I think this current label, is it a three-year label? So what we have right now in dicamba, I think, is just 3 years. And they're going to kind of see. We'll drop back and punt and see how it goes after these first three. So.
All right. Well, appreciate y'all's time today after the scout school. Good information. And, you know, hopefully the weather will continue to be in our favor from today on, right?
And nobody's equipment will break down.
That's right. Again, appreciate y'all's time. Appreciate our listeners. If there's anything we need to talk about, you know, reach out to us and let us know. And, of course, if there's anything any of us with Alabama Extension can do to help, please don't hesitate to reach out.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.